Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. We are now halfway through week 8 of the 2021 NFL regular season. With that, we say hello. For now, it's me and Kyle hanging. Kyle, what's good, my friend?
I'm good. You said we were halfway through week 8. That's not quite true. Week 8 has yet to start.
Wow, you are very correct in that assessment. I always kind of look at the week of 7 days, so I figure Wednesday is about the halfway point. I'm not quite sure what I was getting at with that, but I stand corrected by you, Kyle.
Okay.
And week 8 is going to be a great week. We think it's an even better slate than we had in week 7, which... You know, we're selfish as football fans, right? Because we have great football every week. I mean, it's ridiculous how many great games we have had. We didn't have a great week last week.
No.
It was pretty weak.
It was a weak week,
if you will.
And I'm not sure this week's going to start in perfect fashion.
Oh,
I mean, my Packers, usually that's a great start to my week. I love starting the week. Thursday night football, standalone game, normally good. Not sure that's going to be the case this week. 6.5-point underdog, given the problems at receiver right now.
And we'll have some. We will have a couple of updates on the Packers wide receivers in just a minute. But one thing I do know is that while I think Week 8 will be better than Kyle thinks Week 8 will be, I know that Week 9 will be incredible. And here's part of the reason why. During Week 9, you have the opportunity to join Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel for a virtual live mailbag podcast recording where they will be answering your questions. Save the date. It's November 2nd, 6 p.m. Eastern time, when they'll hop on a Zoom for a virtual live show presented by our friends at Geico and Body Armor. Registration is required and space is limited, but the event is totally free and we'll spend the whole time answering the questions you submit when you register. And when I say we, I mean Matthew and Stefania and Daniel, because Mike and Daniel and I handled the first such live show. And here's your opportunity to register. You go to bit.ly/focus112. That's all lowercase. And again, bit.ly/focus and then the numbers 112. One more time, bit.ly/focus112. We hope you'll join them next Tuesday, November 2nd at 6 p.m. Eastern for a virtual live back show with Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel Dopp, presented by Geico and Body Armor. You know what else takes place next Tuesday, Kyle?
No, I don't.
The NFL trade deadline takes place
there
next
you go.
Tuesday.
Okay,
that's
okay.
Right. So November 2nd is the NFL trade deadline. We are now less than 6 days away. But your fantasy trade deadline has a lot more time before that takes place, at least according to ESPN default settings. So anyways, we don't know who will be traded or if anybody will be traded before November 2nd. But we know, Kyle, that right now, for those that may have watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, many did. I mean, if you haven't, it's just a classic.
I've seen nothing.
Right? Yeah. And you and I were discussing this before the show. Like, Kyle, not a TV guy.
No,
you're
really
more locked in on sports and research, right?
Which counts as TV, I guess.
Yeah, and you're a great family man as well. Kyle's
appreciate
got
that.
A lovely wife. They have a dog. They live here in the Connecticut area. He's got a big family beyond that, too. But I made a reference to you that you actually understood for once.
I did. Because I was thrilled.
Right now on the show, and not for all of this. Don't worry. We'll get back to our normal programming in just a minute here. But for right now, Kyle, it's just you and I hanging out in the set.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when Will Smith, there's that famous meme that goes around on Twitter all the time. Yeah. He's sort of just sitting there like, what are we doing? It's just me. It's just me. Where is the rest of our group, our homies, our friends? Well, for those of you that may have been watching the live stream, you may have noticed a large mark that came across your screen.
Reinforcements are on the way.
The wolf pack has grown.
That's
hey,
me.
Look who it is. What's up, Matthew Berry?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm late.
That's okay. You made it here.
I'm late. So, yeah, I was the large mark walking across the screen for people listening at home. They don't know that I was late, but if you watch the live stream, I was late. We had a nor'easter.
Yeah, we did.
Here in the East Coast, I have a house that is in an area that is affected by that significantly.
Right. It'd be kind of pretty bad where Kyle and I live, too. But, you know, it depends. If it doesn't hit your road, you can be fine. But
No. But anyway, my point is this. We had a lot of downed trees that, anyway, so that impacted my ability to get here on time. Right. So
we were actually taking bets on this.
Yeah.
So from the parking lot to our studio is, I don't know, let's call it about 40 yards.
Yeah,
and they were
asking
me, like, how much time do you think it would take you to get from the parking lot to here?
Oh, yeah.
So I guess 3 minutes. It's 40 yards. what was your
No. Under. I hustled.
Okay. Yeah, I know. You're kind of
out of breath, obviously.
Here,
yeah, so. Sure. So now I'm like,
do you want me to do the live show announcement read one more time so you can?
How many times did you guys do it?
Only four so far. Right, so we can make it five to catch your breath one more time. All right. So Matthew is here. You're good. Right. Let's make it happen. We will go through not just rankings chatter in just a bit. We will talk some dynasty today, which I know there are some people on the show that don't even know how a dynasty league really works.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people that really get interested in looking ahead. And even if we're talking about the players through the Dynasty Vortex, I think it's actually kind of useful because there are already people that their team is like 1-6 so far this year, and they're thinking ahead to next year. And who am I going to take in the first round? Or who's going to be the player that's going to make a leap and be a second or third round pick next season? We'll get into some of that. But right. Matthew, we have to begin with the news.
Pretty sure, by the way, I'm pretty sure that every Dynasty question the answer is Ja'Marr Chase. Somewhere in there. I feel like it doesn't matter like who's the best quarterback you could take in Dynasty. Yeah. It's Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah,
well, I just feel like somehow, some way, that's the answer.
I feel like in Dynasty, like the target moves more during the season. Like the number one wide receiver for Dynasty coming into the year could easily have been DK Metcalf.
I was just about to say DK Metcalf.
Right. Yep. I think in the 7 weeks since the season began.
Or CeeDee Lamb. Or CeeDee Lamb.
Or Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
Ja'Marr Chase.
Right.
Tyreek Hill is still not that old, by the way. Tyreek Hill's amazing, right?
I mean,
there are so many wide receivers that could be right there in the mix.
Right.
So we'll get into some Dynasty talk a little bit later on in the show, but we have to begin in Green Bay where, oh my goodness, like Kyle and I were just talking about, Kyle and I were the only people remaining here. Randall Cobb is the only Packers wide receiver remaining, seemingly, as the team announced yesterday that Alan Lazard, who we spent like 10 minutes talking about,
I know,
has landed on the COVID-19 list as well. He is out for Thursday night game against the Arizona Cardinals. He joins Davante Adams on that list. Davante needs, basically at this point, Matthew, like he needs a Hail Mary, if you will, to play on Thursday against the Cardinals, which I suppose Aaron Rodgers has thrown a couple of those against Arizona in the past.
Exactly right. Yeah, well
so,
done.
So I'm not going to go full Mike Tomlin, who went never say never, but never. But, like, never say never, but it sounds incredibly unlikely that Davante will play on Thursday night. So where do we land with...
Yeah.
There are two sides to this.
So in the world of fantasy, let's start here. In the world of fantasy, we just deal in probabilities, right? There's nothing certain in fantasy football at all. So we just...
Except
we
for Ja'Marr Chase.
Huh?
Except for Ja'Marr Chase.
Right, sure. But beyond that, right? So we deal in probabilities. And the probability here... very likely probability is that Davante Adams is not going to play. Alan Lazard is definitely not going to play. And so at which case you sit here and you look at what is going to happen for the pass catcher. So first off, the expectation is, this is what Stefania said, and it hasn't happened yet, but the expectation here is that Marquez Valdes-Scantling will be activated off the IR. But
I don't know that's the case.
You're looking, you think maybe not.
I don't believe that's the case. I don't think it's a guarantee.
It's definitely not a guarantee.
Yeah, and I'm not sure
it was trending that way yesterday. You're saying that maybe it's not looking as it's not looking as good.
I don't know the answer to that. Like, I'm at the point now where I don't want to, I think I, you know, we'll revisit this one more time tomorrow for our game preview with Mike. So, but for now, I want to call it possible. I think it's possible Marquez Valdes-Scantling plays. Randall Cobb will play.
Yep.
Could we see more Amari Rodgers tomorrow night?
Yeah, maybe.
Who's their third round pick out of Clemson, who I thought was going to be a thing before they traded for Randall Cobb?
Right.
I mean, Equanimeous St. Brown?
Yeah, maybe it could be. It could be ESB. It could be finally an ESB week. Or is it Bob Tonyan? Big Bob Tonyan. I mean, you think about this, right? Week 4 last year against Atlanta, 6 for 98, 3 touchdowns. That was a game that Davante Adams missed. Bob Tonyan. Yeah, that was his big, huge game. I believe that was a Monday night game against the Falcons.
I think it was a primetime game.
It was definitely a primetime game. Yeah. I can't remember if it was Monday night or Sunday night, but I remember just, you know. So against Atlanta, 6 for 98, 3 touchdowns. Listen, the number one wide receiver in the 6 games over the past 2 years that Davante Adams has missed, the number one wide receiver has averaged about 11.9 fantasy points per game. That was Alan Lazard in the 5 games in that he's played. The 5 games that Lazard has played in which Adams has missed, 5 of the 6, he's gotten 22 targets over those 5 games, right?
Okay, yep.
So then you think about MVS in the 6 games in which Adams has missed, 7.2 fantasy points per game. And I think you can sort of just look at it like that. To me, yes, Randall Cobb moves into a top 25 wide receiver. Arizona is actually pretty good against the slot.
Yeah.
But I think just volume of passes for Randall Cobb. But yes, I think you'll see some Robert Tonyan. I think you'll see some Randall Cobb. You'll see some ESB and Amari Rodgers. But you'll also see a lot of like A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. And A.J. Dillon. Some you know. And so my here's what I would say. For our purposes,
yep.
I think you can start Randall Cobb.
Yep.
Like, I think he's a viable wide receiver three with upside. You know, jokes aside, but I think he's a viable wide receiver three with upside in what should be a high-scoring game against the Cardinals.
Yep.
I think Robert Tonyan, who has been more fade than start this year, I think you can feel like he's a pretty good tight end streamer this week.
I agree.
You're starting the running backs the way you normally would. Aaron Jones is an every week starter, but like if you're on the fence about A.J. Dillon, I think you could say like lean towards starting him.
Yep.
And I am absolutely not fading Aaron Rodgers. I get it. No Davante Adams, no Alan Lazard, and maybe no MVS.
Right.
I don't care.
Interesting.
It's Aaron Rodgers against Arizona in prime time. I'm in on Aaron Rodgers. I'm in on 12.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's where I was leaning myself. And there are a couple of players that, like we discussed Kirk Cousins yesterday, who's available in over 50% of leagues somehow. If that opportunity presented itself, I would probably roll the dice with Kirk Cousins, which...
Interesting. See, I don't think
I
would.
I think it's close.
No, what's your argument for it? I'll give you my argument against. Go ahead, though.
My argument for Kirk Cousins has been really good this year, right?
Well,
it's simply, it's a better matchup.
Yep.
He's got much, much better players around him this year, right? He's playing a worse defense. He's got better pass catchers, and I think it's close to a toss-up in terms of running backs, right? I mean, Dalvin Cook's one of the best, if not the best running back, one of the three best running backs in the NFL, right? Offensive line, similar right now, given Green Bay not having David Bakhtiari and losing their center to IR recently. Like, I don't know. I know that Kirk Cousins is an inferior player to Aaron Rodgers. I just looked up Aaron Rodgers' game-by-game box score this year, and he's been Aaron Rodgers-esque for the most part.
After the first week, which
he's
was brutal.
He's been 26.8, 19.04, 24.1, 19.7, 23.7, 24.66. It's just...
Here's my argument. Here's my argument against. I don't disagree that there's absolutely a chance that you and I are sitting here on Monday morning, next Monday morning, and we're talking about the fact that Kirk Cousins had more fantasy points than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Certainly within the realm of possibilities.
Right.
Even likely.
I have an idea. Okay.
Even likely. But what's that difference in point total? Do we think there's 1 point, 2 point, 3 points? Do we think Kirk Cousins outscores Aaron Rodgers so significantly that it is worth dropping someone on your roster and rolling the dice? To me, it's not. In terms of roster construction,
that's fair.
You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like, again, I don't dismiss the argument that Kirk Cousins could have a better week this week than Aaron Rodgers. I think there's a lot of reasons to like him. I'm going to be writing the love list later today, and Kirk Cousins, by the way, is on it, just so you guys know. But I guess for me, I just feel like I have enough confidence in Aaron Rodgers, that offense, and a game in which the over-under, I believe, is 54.5.
Surprising.
Last time I checked.
Surprising.
Yeah. Has it dropped a little bit since the...
Down to 50.5 in Green Bay.
50. 50.5.
Yes.
Okay.
The game is being played...
In Arizona. Game's in Arizona.
You know what? Let's have some fun here.
Right. But it's... Either way, it's north of 50. We expect points to be scored here. And so I'm just saying, fantasy-wise... I don't disagree with the notion that Kirk Cousins could have a better day than Aaron Rodgers. I just don't know that the upside there, that the difference between the two is worth making a move. If you have a free rot, you're sitting there with a second kicker, a defense you don't use, whatever, like, I don't mind it. You know, somebody goes on an IR. Yeah, you have Alan Lazard or Davante Adams. You want to throw them in your IR spot and then use the empty spot? I don't mind it. I guess I always think every roster spot is precious. And so if I'm not significantly upgraded there, I'd rather use that somewhere else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I feel you. I think there are probably people out there, and I'm not sure I feel this way personally, but I think there are probably people out there that think the more likely of those two quarterbacks, based off of the circumstances of the matchup, to have like an 11-point game might actually be Aaron Rodgers this week.
That's fair.
Which might be the reason why you'd pick Kirk Cousins, because you feel like his floor is maybe like 15, Rodgers is 11. Meanwhile, the ceiling for both of them might be 30, right? Like,
right.
Kirk Cousins is just as likely to score 30 fantasy points as Rodgers. So
counter to that is, I think Kirk Cousins has had two dog games this year.
Games,
he's had two bad games this year, including one against Detroit. Rodgers only had one bad game.
Right, yeah.
And by the way, the Cousins game, Minnesota-Dallas, that's a primetime game. That's the Sunday night game. Kirk Cousins does not have a great primetime track record.
So let's board bet it. Why the heck not?
Why not?
What the heck? Let's do it.
Why not? By the way, Kirk Cousins is my war room quarterback, so I'm hoping to lose this. I hope Kirk Cousins has a monster game.
Now I hope you win the bet. But I say Kirk Cousins outscores Aaron Rodgers in week 8.
I say Aaron Rodgers outscores Kirk Cousins in week 8. Put it on the board. No Daniel Dopp here.
All right, so good enough there. Let's move ahead.
I mean, I was late, but at least I showed up. No Starfania Bell, no Daniel Dopp, Matt Harrington.
Did you hear what Stefania is this weekend or today?
No, where is Stefania? Boondoggling?
I told you I officiated my friend Sam and Randy, the great Sam and Randy's wedding on Friday.
Yeah.
And so
heard rave reviews, by the way.
Thank you. I got a text.
I'm friends with Sam on the gram.
Oh, nice. Okay, great. Yeah. Great follow. Yes. And so he happens to be they're on their honeymoon right now, mm-hmm. and he texts me and he's like, dude, you know, it's your honeymoon. So like, for the first time in my life, I'm flying first class. By the way, I think. By the way, he's also 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
when you're seven feet tall, it's very hard to fit into a normal set of a normal chair on an airplane. He's like, I may never not fly first class again because he's sitting there and he's like in one of those lounge seats, big long flight.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I look to my right and who was there? Stefania Bell. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, she told me she had an off day. I'm like, wow. All right. Must be nice. You know, there you go. Like,
Stefania heading to the beach. Makes sense. By the way, that is one of those things like, the first time you fly first class, you don't realize how bad you have it in coach you fly first class and you're like, oh my God, I never want to go back. So I get how Sam is feeling.
Yeah, I mean, and especially like on a long flight. Like I never understood people that upcharge like, hey, I'm going to fly like Boston to like Pittsburgh. It's an hour flight, but I'm going to pay the extra $600 to fly first class. I'm like, dude, I could fall asleep in a closet told me to. Like I'll just snooze for an hour. Anyways. I digress.
If you're somebody like Sam, who's very, very tall.
Yeah. Look, when I say Sam, I don't mean like he's like almost like he's like 6'5". He's literally 7 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a big, tall guy.
Very large person. Yeah. Yeah. Rankings. Let's talk rankings. And we just sort of talked about Kirk Cousins. So I guess we don't have to belabor this one too much. We were going to talk about Kirk Cousins, but we made our points there, Matthew, that if you're replacing Lamar Jackson, if Dak Prescott for some reason is unavailable on Sunday, which they practiced today, and we don't expect that to be the case, but just in case, we both agree we do like Kirk Cousins. Like as much as you might prefer Aaron Rodgers, we're still close.
What's weird is I actually and just to be clear, like I'm happy to do the board bet. I don't know that I necessarily prefer Aaron Rodgers. I want to find out of the status of MVS first before I sort of declare that. But I mean, if you're watching at home, you see on the screen I have Kirk Cousins at quarterback 10. My argument wasn't necessarily anti Kirk Cousins. It was more about doing the roster move that I didn't know that the difference between the two quarterbacks was worth dropping someone valuable on your roster, even someone slightly usable on your roster to make what may or may not be an upgrade. That was my only argument.
I think that's fair.
Right.
So let's talk about one more quarterback then who I think is another adequate replacement if you are trying to find someone to fill in for Lamar Jackson or Derek Carr or you're worried about Aaron Rodgers or anything that might prompt you to make a quarterback change. That's Daniel Jones, who this week is playing the Chiefs. As we know, Matthew, it's the best or one of the best matchups for opposing quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Kansas City is allowing 24.1 quarterback points per game. Only your Washington football team has been worse.
Yeah, first place in something, baby.
If I had given you a guess as to who was the worst, you would have, I mean, how fast would you have guessed your own Washington football team?
I mean, immediately. Like, pick a defensive category, and my assumption is that Washington football is the worst in that.
Don't get me started.
It is the worst defense in the NFL based on salary, draft picks, investment, and preseason expectations. The Washington football team defense is the worst defense in the NFL.
We're not talking about it enough, by the way.
On this show
we are, but elsewhere we are not. Like, just reverse this. We'll get back to Daniel Jones in a second, but just reverse this. Imagine if the Chiefs.
Right.
Or whatever. The Chiefs or the Packers or whoever you think is amongst the Cowboys, the Bucks.
Yeah.
We're literally the lowest scoring offense in the NFL. What would the rhetoric be right now?
Oh, my God, right.
What if Dak Prescott and the Cowboys were scoring 12.8 points per game? We would be, every single day, we'd be eviscerating them.
Yeah.
We'd be calling for trades. We'd be calling for cuts. We'd be calling for backups. Like,
right.
Washington may be getting some local criticism and on this show, but they are so lucky relative to how I think an
offensive
team would have been
treated. Just because, I mean, right, the NFL Lives, the first takes of the world, the get-ups, all the debate shows, the radio shows, they're not really touching it. And I don't know if it's because Washington isn't a quote sexy team, right? It's not the Cowboys. It's not whoever Tom Brady plays for. It's not the Patriots. You know, right. It's like there's a handful of teams that just, you know, move the needle across the, that everyone is interested in, regardless of who you root for in the NFL. So I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's because the team is just, it's just a bad team.
Probably
they're,
that.
You know, they're too, so it's not, you know, I mean, like.
It's not the offense is doing much better.
Right. I mean, right. Exactly. I mean, Kansas City is struggling, but they're still, you know, they're Kansas City. It's Patrick Mahomes, who's like the face of the NFL.
Three straight
AFC
championship games.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
So I don't know if it's that, or if it's just because.
They listen to this show and they're like, Nasty gets a lot of energy out already on it.
Yeah. But I agree with you. I think it's an underreported story. I think it's, and maybe it's just because people just are so used to Washington being such a disaster and such a dumpster fire.
There's also a lot swirling around.
There's a lot swirling around the franchise off the field in terms of the investigation and Goodell saying he's not going to release the emails, and there's demands to release the emails. And so it's like a, you know, or findings of the investigation, which I still, honestly, I think they should. I think they should release the findings of the investigation.
It's don't get me started on that. They absolutely should, but it sounds like the NFL being the NFL will not. So Let's go back to Daniel Jones here and get back on track. So Daniel Jones of the Giants on Monday Night Football, no less, play the Chiefs in Kansas City. The Chiefs have been the second most generous defense to opposing quarterbacks so far this season. We know that Daniel has some upside with his legs. He has over 25 rushing yards in 5 of 7 games played this season. That is good. So, Matthew, I think that Daniel Jones has still not been consistent enough in his career that we've gotten to the point that, like, trust is built in implicitly when you start him. You know there's upside. I mean, he's done this even in previous years when the narrative around him was that, like, he's a disaster, like the quarterback needs to be replaced this upcoming offseason. He's been better as a player this year, but he still hasn't proved all the naysayers wrong, both in real and fantasy football. So I understand the logic in streaming Daniel Jones. I'm also like, I still go into the mindset of, or I still go into the game on Monday night being like, all right, listen, I'd love to get 22 out of Daniel Jones tonight, but I'm preparing myself for like 8.5, even in a great matchup.
That was the point I was going to make, sorry, which is that, yes, the floor is still really low for Daniel Jones because, like, there's a couple of things. Think about how this game plays out, right? So Kansas City embarrassed last week. Just brutal.
Yeah.
What are the odds that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have another bad game?
Right.
It could happen. I understand they haven't been, quote, the Chiefs this year, but feels like they could, especially an extra day to play. It's Monday Night Football.
At home,
but the game is in Kansas City. Feels like this should be... You know, a fix me game, as Mike Clay likes to say. This feels like this should be a fix me game. On the other hand, the Giants defense has played better recently. They shut down Carolina last week. I thought it was an impressive performance by the Giants last week against the Panthers. So maybe the Chiefs do struggle again. Maybe the Chiefs do step up, and then this is a weird low scoring game. Mm. On the other hand, right, if Mahomes is Mahomes and suddenly the Giants have to get creative and start throwing it all over the place, we do expect the Giants offense to be at least somewhat healthier going into this game, which would help Daniel Jones as well. Obviously he adds fantasy points with his legs, as you mentioned, Field. So there's just wide range of outcomes for Daniel Jones on Monday night. No outcome would surprise me.
Right.
He could lay an egg and I'd be like, I get it. He could also wind up with 25 fantasy points in some junk time or a shootout between the Chiefs and the Giants. And I'd be like, yeah, I get that too.
If he has Sterling Shepard and Kadarius Toney and Kenny Golladay and Evan Ingram, I feel good about it.
Yeah,
if he has 3 out of those 4, I still would start him as my replacement. If he has 2 of those 4, I start to get nervous. 1 of those 4, I'm like, I'm not sure I want to do this.
Right.
0 of this 4, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to look elsewhere. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what else is out there, but I'm going to look elsewhere
rather
than Daniel Jones. Speaking of that game, Darrell Williams gets his presumed third start for the Chiefs at running back. So he had 2 weeks ago, he was really good. He had 2 touchdowns, not a ton of rushing efficiency. This past week wasn't as great, Matthew. So I think this probably comes down to, like, so I am at 21. You have him at 15. You're a little more optimistic than I am. The consensus ranks are number 19. I think the reason why I have him lower than you do is probably because some of the things that we talked about have not changed. He still has a better chance at goal line rushes than someone like CEH does. I've been surprised by the lack of efficiency as a runner, though.
Sure.
Which, I don't know if that's an offensive line issue. I don't know if it's because 2 weeks ago it wasn't a great matchup, and this past week they were playing from behind, so they couldn't really bother to run as much. There wasn't a rhythm to it. But I thought he'd be picking up more yards per carry and a couple more chunk runs than we have seen through 2 starts.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. For me, this is a bet on, like, fantasy football is always like, what's most likely to happen? And for me, the answer to the question, with the Kansas City Chiefs offense, what's most likely to happen? That they stink, that they've all suddenly forgot to play football, that Andy Reid doesn't know anything anymore, and that this is a bad offense?
Sure.
Or just a bad day at the offense, similar to what we saw with Green Bay week one against the Saints, where they totally tanked and everyone was throwing dirt on them and we're like, you know what? It's Aaron Rodgers. I'm gonna trust in that. And then of course the Packers have just been awesome ever since. I feel like just a bad day at the office for the Chiefs, and I get it, the Chiefs have not been the Chiefs in capital letters this season. But as we talked about, to this day, at the moment, as bad, I'm using air quotes here for people that can't see, as, quote, bad as Patrick Mahomes has been, he's the fifth best quarterback in fantasy.
Yeah, I think, like, he was number one until this past week.
Right.
Yeah.
So my expectation here is that what's most likely to happen? The Chiefs are back to being the Chiefs again. Sure. That they go out and they prove a point. And so I think that, especially in a primetime game, I think the entire offense scores a lot of points. I think Mahomes is back to being Mahomes. I think Reed and Mike Kafka call a great game here. Eric Bieniemy, the whole offensive staff, I think they do a great job. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in on the Chiefs. I am backing the Chiefs. And so give me all of the Chiefs players, including Darrell Williams. I think he has a chance at scoring it. I think he has a pretty good chance at scoring a touchdown here. He comes in at 15 for my ranks here. They've been using him in the passing game. He's gotten three more catches in each of the last three games. He's the only guy they got.
Yeah.
So I think he's a solid RB2 on what I think is going to be a good offense that's going to score a lot of points on Monday night. That's my argument.
I see it mostly the same way as you. Let's talk about Khalil Herbert for a second, because the Bears play the 49ers on Sunday. I don't know what the over-under is, but I'm assuming it's fairly low, as these are two offenses that are largely stuck in the mud right now.
39.5.
That's low.
That's all right. That is
39.5. That's it. So I've got Khalil Herbert at number 16 on my running back board, Matthew. You have him at 20. The consensus is also 20. I think the question with Khalil Herbert that everybody is asking is probably one that, no matter how much you and I poke and prod around for, Matthew, we don't have the answer to. We talked about the unique circumstances of Sunday against the Bucks. That the Bears got Damian Williams off the COVID list on Saturday afternoon. He hadn't practiced and been around for a full week.
Right.
He barely played on Sunday. So you can attribute the lack of his work in part to that COVID list stint.
Sure.
On the other hand, Matthew, the Bears don't have much they can cling to right now offensively. The offensive line to turnstile, Justin Fields is experiencing sort of the rookie roller coaster.
He's a work in progress.
He is. And I know there are a lot of people that feel like the staff, et cetera, are dooming him. Okay, maybe there's some things they could definitely do better. Justin Fields hasn't been great either.
Right.
Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney. Robinson's been a ghost this year. Whatever. The point is, there's really nothing the Bears can get excited about. But Khalil Herbert is one of those rare things they can't get excited about on offense. So I have him at 16 with the presumption, Matthew, that Damian Williams will be to Khalil Herbert what he was to David Montgomery before David Montgomery got hurt, which is handle some passing game usage, a little bit of change of pace, but that Khalil Herbert will have a David Montgomery-like workload on Sunday.
I think that's fair. I am at 20, so I'm slightly lower than you, because I'm expecting, to your point about Damian Williams, I'm expecting a little bit more usage from Damian Williams this week. You know, again, he was just sort of finding the field. I will say this, to your point, Khalil Herbert, in a tough matchup against the Buccaneers run defense,
yeah, it's really
ran good. Right, he ran hard, he ran well, he looked good. I was impressed, really impressed. And you know, I talked about this a couple of times on the show, but I, you know, Dan Graziano, prior to, you know, was when I do this weekly hit on the Kellerman Show on This Just In with me, Dan, and Max do a, you know, a fantasy football segment on the show every Friday. And again, a couple of weeks ago, Graz brought that up. He's just saying, like, I'm telling you, talking to a bunch of the Bears coaches over the course of the week, they really like Khalil Herbert. So they felt like they found something in him, and that's proven out to be the case on the field. So I certainly see that argument that he could get a Montgomery-like workload here. I guess I just feel like, don't love the matchup with San Francisco. I feel like I get it. Jonathan Taylor ran all over him last week.
Yeah, I don't know if they're a bad matchup, are they? I genuinely don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I feel like the Colts offensive line and Jonathan Taylor is a lot better than the Bears offensive line and Khalil Herbert. As impressive as we've been with Herbert, I'm not ready to put Herbert in the same category
totally,
as Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just have him slightly lower. I mean, again, we're nitpicking a little bit. You have him at 16, I'm at 20. I'm just, the two things that I think it's a little tougher matchup, and I just, I still think there's a chance that prior to Damian Williams going on the COVID list, it was literally a 50-50 split.
It was.
And then
it was Herbert take more over. Williams than Herbert.
Right. It was more Williams than Herbert. Herbert's taken over the last 2 weeks, but do they just completely get rid of Williams? I feel like maybe now, instead of last week where it was 90-10 Herbert, as Williams had just come off the COVID list, maybe this week it's 65-35.
Makes sense. Yeah.
I certainly if I'm starting a Bears running back, it's definitely Khalil Herbert. We agree there.
Yeah.
That's why I'm hedging a little bit there, I guess, is what I'm doing.
Let's get to some pass catcher ranks. And we start in Dallas. Well, the game is being played in Minnesota, but the game is between Dallas and Minnesota. And the Cowboys wide receivers are sort of an interesting talking point right now, Matthew. We both have CeeDee Lamb inside our top 15, which I'm not sure there's really much to discuss there, but I think Amari Cooper has become a conversation. You've got him at 22. I've got him at 27. The consensus ranks are at 22. And Matthew, if I go back and look at the games over the past 5 weeks for the Cowboys, I don't know that all of them are like net negative matchups. And oh, by the way, it's Amari Cooper. Like, yeah. This is not some like up-and-coming receiver. This is a $22 million per year bona fide star wideout. He has not been a top 25 wide receiver since week one.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the reason is beyond a very simple fact. They got so many good players right now.
I think that's
Zeke's running well. Dalton Schultz has been a revelation. CeeDee Lamb's awesome. They've gotten contributions from guys like Cedric Wilson, believe it or not.
Tony Pollard.
Yeah. Michael Gallup was eligible to play on Sunday night. So I'm just a little bit down on Amari Cooper just because there's definitely a chance to go off. He was wide receiver one in week one, but you just sort of play the odds. Remember, back to that probabilities conversation. I'm a little bit lower on him than you.
Which I think is fair. Like, you have him at 27, I'm at 22. You and I both have him outside the top 20, though, and we both have CeeDee Lamb significantly ahead of him, which is, by the way, one of the things we talked about in the preseason. Like, is this the, you know, it's year two. Do we think CeeDee Lamb bypasses Amari Cooper as the number one wide receiver in Dallas? We both felt that way. I know CeeDee Lamb was one of Fields' favorites. He was one of sort of your guys.
Yeah.
And that has happened, right? And so, but for me, I feel like with Amari Cooper, sort of feel like this is Amari Cooper. Like, even when Amari Cooper was running right, he still had these up and down games. He was still more inconsistent than I think people really realize. If you go back and look at the game logs of Amari Cooper throughout his career, even in Dallas, like, monster game, game, monster game. Now, to your point, hasn't been top 25 in 5 weeks. So
maybe
I'm at 22, but I feel like coming out of the bye, I also think a couple of those games got weird in terms of like they were running really well, you know, or right. Dalton Schultz has a, you know, multi-touchdown game. Just they felt like where they could attack was the tight ends. But they need to get Amari Cooper more involved. I think coming out of the bye, they'll realize that. They're paying him a lot of money.
I don't know
obviously.
If they do, though, right? Like, they've been awesome.
Yeah, they've been really good.
Like, I'm not sure there's anything they need to do dramatically different on offense right now. What is Kyle wants to get into this? What do you got?
How close are we to treating this like Seattle, where Metcalf is CeeDee Lamb, where it's that consistent guy? You've got the spike up and down, Lockett, Cooper, where Lockett isn't really locked in anymore. Is Cooper going to get to that point?
You know, it's a great question, Kyle. I don't know that we... Two things. Number one is, I don't think we can judge Seattle until Russell Wilson's under center.
Fair.
Right? Because through the first 2 weeks of the season, there wasn't a wide receiver in football hotter than Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, like, we were all like, when's DK going to get his? So I hear you in the sense that Tyler Lockett's been up and down. But again, I just don't think you can count... The Geno Smith stuff, I just don't think that's a fair assessment of either guy, right? Yeah. Certainly, we have to judge on a case-by-case basis. But I think assuming once Russell Wilson's back under center, for me, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are still like, you start them, you don't think about it. Okay. You know, it is what it is. And I'm still there, I guess maybe not, because I have Cooper at 22, right? I mean, so I'm outside the top 20. So in theory, you could have two guys ahead of him, right? You easily could have drafted like...
Mike Williams.
I was just about to say, yeah. Justin Jefferson and Mike Williams.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just in terms of ADP, Jamar Chase went significantly after Amari Cooper.
Totally,
like,
yeah.
You're not benching Jamar Chase for Amari Cooper. Like, say you had Justin Jefferson, right? Like, you had, like, some legit, you know, wide receiver one. So that's your wide receiver one. And then you're like, oh, I'm sitting here with Cooper was my two, but I found Jamar Chase. Or I got Cooper Kupp, who went drafted after Amari Cooper, right?
Antonio Brown.
It's where he's Antonio actually Brown. Still a strong flex option, though, because what's happening this year is that, and we talk about the depth of wide receivers every year coming into the year, and sometimes it doesn't prove it doesn't play out that way. Like, it's played out that way, right? Like, to your point, we're talking about a lot of guys. Like, Antonio Brown, I mean, if he and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are all cracking the top 20 to 22 each week, like, you're going to have players like Amari Cooper. They're going to slide a little bit. Put it this way. If I was facing Amari Cooper this weekend, which the odds are I probably am,
right?
I'm still nervous. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, and that's what I think it is. I just think with guys like, whether it's Tyler Lockett or Amari Cooper or even one of the Bucs wide receivers, right? One of these guys that, like, I just feel like you just have to start them every week. Trying to guess when's going to be an Amari Cooper week and when isn't is just a fool's errand. And you just sort of, like, again, like, if you have lucked into a Mike Williams, a Jamar Chase, a Cooper Kupp, one of these guys that went lower in ADP and has just been awesome, I get it. But generally speaking, like, the leagues in which I have Amari Cooper, I have him in a couple leagues, I'm just starting him. And it is what it is. I get it. It's been disappointing, but I feel like, again, this is sort of Amari Cooper's game. I bet you Thirsty Kyle could look up some consistency ranks from him last year. Go to Tristan's consistency ranks and look at what Amari Cooper did last year in terms of consistency, but then also look at where he finished as a wide receiver in total fantasy points. While you're doing that, Kyle, I just want to mention this real quickly, Field. Just got an alert. I can't mention from where, but I will say that Rick Stroud on Twitter, and Rick does a great job covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rick just tweeted, the bad news, wide receiver Antonio Brown ankle did not practice, but walked out with the use of a crutch. So that's interesting. Obviously, Antonio Brown did not play last week. Yeah. It was an ankle injury. We thought it was sort of minor, you know, and talking with Stefania, she said there hadn't been a lot of news on it. Felt like it wasn't a serious injury. And by the way, walking out on a crutch doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, a lot of times we see players in a walking boot and then they end up playing the next week. So this doesn't necessarily mean that Antonio Brown isn't playing, but being on a crutch on a Wednesday, the week after missing a game with an ankle injury, is an ideal field.
Makes it sound like an uphill battle to play on Sunday for Tampa Bay against New Orleans. Of course, a huge NFC South matchup. We'll monitor that one on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, I'm sure Stefania will be all over that when she gets back from her boondoggle, her first-class boondoggle. But just heads up, since Antonio Brown came up, and just mention, you know, it'd be interesting. This could be, my quick reaction is, if Antonio Brown doesn't play, and the expectation is that Marshawn Lattimore will be on Mike Evans, and
Godwin over week.
Could be a big, big Godwin week, and maybe the tight ends. We'll see if they get Gronk back this week. There's a chance at that. But I just, over the years, for the most part, Lattimore seems to have Mike Evans' number.
He sure does. All right, we're going to do sort of what we call a mini game of flex appeal. If you watch Fantasy Football Now, you see it. It's one of the final segments of our show. So Flex Calls for Week 8 is brought to you by Captain Morgan. Bench boring drinks and sub in the captain on game day. Captain Morgan, the official spice rum of the NFL. We've got six players queued up in this touchscreen, Matthew. You and I are going to rank these players 1 through 5.
Right.
One man gets voted off the island. These are basically players that we think are flex-ish territory for week 8, running backs, wide receivers included. How about this? How about I start with who I would begin with, Matthew? And if you disagree, you can tell me why I am right, or you can tell me why I'm wrong. I think, though, that Jerry Jeudy of the Denver Broncos is number one amongst these players that we are highlighting here for flex calls in week 8. Now, Jerry Jeudy is expected to be activated from IR. The Denver Broncos play your Washington football team on Sunday. I'm having trouble activating the actual physical touch of the touchscreen. Let's see if I can troubleshoot that. In the meantime, though, Matthew, I think Jerry Jeudy, who looked phenomenal in week 1 against the Giants, looked like the best player on the field in that game until he got hurt, could pick up right where he left off. I know it's an ankle injury, and that makes me a little bit nervous, but the hope is that he's had plenty of time to heal. Remember, the Broncos gave him 2 full weeks of practice before he actually got back before he's actually been activated. This is not like he's returning from practice this week and getting right into game action. I have him number one. Where are you at?
I would probably, look, you had me at Washington football team.
Right.
For me, it would either be Jeudy or Devontae Booker.
Okay.
I think the upside, we should name all six, I guess, for people that aren't watching this at home. So the six players that we have that we're choosing from here, they're all sort of right around the same area, which is, so among wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy, Tyler Lockett with Geno Smith under quarterback, and Chase Claypool.
Yep.
Meanwhile, at running back, it's Zach Moss, it's Devontae Booker, and Michael Carter. Of the New York Football Jets. So my
touchscreen is malfunctioning. I'll get it up there in a second. I would go Judy first.
Okay, which is totally fine. What I was saying is, for me, it would either be him or Booker. I feel like the upside play is Judy. The safer play is Booker, just in terms of volume of work that you're going to get from Booker in terms of touches. Like, because the thing is that, weirdly, Denver has a lot of weapons. Cortland Sutton has been awesome. Noah Fant, really, really solid. Both running backs, pretty good, right? And then you've got Tim Patrick. And do I think Tim Patrick is a reason why Jerry Jeudy doesn't get his? But I'm just saying, my point is like, it's his first game back. Does he get massive target share? Having said that, it is a great matchup with Washington. Jerry Jeudy is all sorts of phenomenally talented. He's one of those guys that all he needs is one. And if he can count on a defense to take a wrong angle and let a guy run all the way to the end zone, it's the Washington football team. So I don't mind the call with Judy at one. Like I said, it sort of depends on what you need, but we can go with, you got the iPad. I'm good with doing Jerry Jeudy at one. Would you go with me on my argument for Devontae Booker at two, as the Chiefs have allowed their top 10 in terms of most fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs, right? This guy's averaging, he's getting a ton of work filling in for Saquon Barkley. We don't expect him. We don't expect Barkley to play on Monday night. Yeah, at least at the moment.
Jordan Ronan tweeted from, ESPN recently that Barkley is amongst a group of players that also includes Kadarius Toney and Sterling Shepard, I believe Kenny Galladay as well, that's out at practice on the side working with trainers. So
interesting. Okay.
There's a Monday night game very early on in the week, but this is presuming Saquon's not playing on Monday.
Correct. Obviously, if Saquon's playing, then Devontae Booker becomes nothing more than insurance for him. But we expect a high-scoring game against the Chiefs. They're a defense that has been poor. They have Booker scored last week, should have actually scored twice. The week before, honestly, should have scored. Elijah Penny comes in, vultures it, but whatever. Booker's getting a lot of work and is a solid running back.
Would agree on that. So let's go Judy number one. And number two, my touchscreen is now working after I did the old, the old Nintendo trick, blowing the cartridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two is Devontae Booker. I think number three is a really interesting conversation, Matthew, and I'm going to go with Chase Claypool here. Okay. Obviously, no Juju Smith-Schuster. Pittsburgh Steelers coming back off their bye. They play the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. Huge AFC North divisional matchup. And this goes back to probably what you're looking for, upside versus floor. I think Zach Moss might have a higher floor this week against Miami.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. To me, it's between Moss and Claypool here.
I'm going with Claypool just because the Browns defensively, like, still not sure. I know what to make of Myles Garrett and some of the pieces up front, but I don't know what to make of the secondary still for the Cleveland Browns. So give me Chase Claypool, number three. How about you? Number four is going to be Zach Moss?
I think it's got to be Zach Moss. Dolphins really bad against the run. They allow the sixth most fantasy points to opposing running backs, the fifth most yards to running backs per carry after contact. Zach Moss, always tough to bring down here. So Moss, who's starting to get more involved in the passing attack, he's got multiple catches in four or five games so far this year. Kind of like him to get into the end zone here against Miami. Buffalo coming out of the bye. I always like teams' offenses coming out of the bye. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. It's a divisional matchup here. I know they've got some Singletary. There's always the concern that Josh Allen keeps it himself, but I like Zach Moss here. I think he's safer. I'm at 24 in the running back rank, so right there in that flex territory. Give me Zach Moss here at number four.
And number five for me is Tyler Lockett still. I know Michael Carter has been the Jets' lead running back in recent weeks, but it just feels weird to me to not have Tyler Lockett in this top five. Tyler Lockett, as we know, is an incredible player. They have been so difficult to watch since Geno Smith became their full-time starter over the past two games, Matthew. But it's Jacksonville. It's a matchup you like. He's still Tyler Lockett. He just needs one play here. I just feel like this probably, again, goes back to the floor versus the ceiling play, but I'm not even so sure that Tyler, well, I guess his floor, let me take that back. His floor is probably lower than Michael Carter's floor.
Sure.
But his ceiling is so dramatically larger, right? Like, his ceiling is 32 points. What's Michael Carter's ceiling? 18?
Right.
Something like
that? Yeah, no, I agree with that, by the way, and also I think matchup has a lot to do with this. Like, Jets are playing Cincinnati.
Bengals. Good defense, right? Yeah.
Bengals legit good.
Yeah, totally.
Bengals legit good. And so, Bengals legit good. We don't know what this offense the Jets is going to look like without Zach Wilson. I mean, not trying to, I like Mike White, but like his first start, against a pretty good defense. Like, we don't expect, I mean, who knows, maybe Joe Flacco starts, but right now the expectation is that it's going to be Mike White. Maybe you see some Joe Flacco. Maybe there's, I don't know, but it's an offense that's in transition in a tough matchup. Meanwhile, Seattle gets a home game against the Jaguars. And so I get it. Lockett's been brutal the last 2 weeks. Geno has been brutal the last 2 weeks. But there's a difference between playing against the Saints or the Steelers versus the Jaguars. And it's, again, it's a home game. Again, the play that DK Metcalf scored on Monday night, where it was just like a catch into coverage.
It's glorious.
He made a move, ran all the glorious way to the end zone,
what
brought the Irish
mean?
Twins a victory. Lockett could have that exact kind of play.
Yeah. No, he
right?
could.
He is,
could,
all he needs yeah. is one.
Yep.
So I'm with you. I would put Lockett over Carter. Those are our six flex calls for week number 8.
We're going to talk some dynasty in just a second, but before we do, no matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams. What if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. How does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its network of millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. And when I say that, I actually mean 06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
It's me.
Go ahead. Tell us about Geico.
Sorry, yep. Yeah, it wasn't in the note here. So, all right. Hey, do you rent or own your home?
Mm.
Sure you do.
Duh.
I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy, Field? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico, of course, makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing as well because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com. Get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. So I feel like we're still in Geico-ween.
We are still in Geico-ween. It's just 4 days, 5 days away?
Four days away. Have you, we're going to dress up on Friday, you and I.
Yep. I have my costume.
Do you?
I do. And I will tell you about it more on Friday when I'm actually wearing it.
Okay.
But let me just say, Mike Clay's wife is the MVP. She's very crafty, and she literally helped bring my costume to life. So pretty cool.
Wow.
Let's talk dynasty.
That makes sense. I believe that she's crafty. Here's my question for you.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it in the air. We'll talk about this over. But because I have a costume already planned for
Joe
Friday
Exotic?
As well. Is not Joe Exotic, although people did love the accent. I should bring it back. I have a costume, and I have a weird feeling that we've chosen the same costume.
Wow, really?
I do. I have because the costume I chose, like, I really like it. And then I thought, you know what? That's the kind of costume Field would choose.
So Here's my question.
I'm not going to get into what it is, but my question is: should we reveal our costumes to each other off the air prior to Friday?
Or just show up together, and if we are in the same costume, we are in the same costume.
If you're in the same costume, it's that much better.
Probably should just come on Friday in the same costume.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man.
All right.
Okay.
Let's get into this. So let's talk about Dynasty. This makes me so scared. A little Dynasty conversation. So basically what we are doing is going
to... Wait, before we get into the Dynasty conversation, yeah. I just want to wrap up one last thing. Thirsty Kyle, so last year, Amari Cooper, where did Amari Cooper finish, by the way? He was wide receiver what? So he's going to look that up real quickly. But Amari Cooper last year had 3 different weeks where he was a top 10 fantasy wide receiver.
Okay.
5 different weeks last year where he was outside the top 30.
Yeah.
Again, he's already had 5 weeks so far this year where he hasn't been a top 25 wide receiver. But
more disparate this year for whatever reason.
By the way, last year they lost Dak Prescott after 4 games. Fair. The offense wasn't. You know, CeeDee Lamb hadn't become a thing the way he has this year. They have more weapons, to your point. Cedric Wilson has emerged. Dalton Schultz has emerged. They got Dak, right? It's a much more efficient offense. Zeke looks like Zeke. The offensive line is healthier. They're able to run the ball. So it's not exactly, It's obviously not apples to apples in terms of the Cowboys offense last year, but the Cowboys to the Cowboys offense this year. But just the mere point that Amari Cooper can be inconsistent and still finish high, right, which is where it was. It was last year, last craw.
Wide receiver 21. So right in that range.
There you have it. Wide receiver 21. All right. Yep. So okay. We got 10 minutes here.
Yep. Let's do some dice.
Over the past 3 years, guys who've been drafted over the past 3 years, where would they be ranked for redraft purposes or in a redraft in the summer of 2023? So can you spend forward 2 years in your head, Matthew?
2 years.
Do you believe
from now.
That? Yep. Which honestly is probably the same as 2022 in a lot of ways. Right. But I'm going to have name seven running backs, and let's just go back and forth. You have the first pick of these running backs, so we'll go back and forth. Najee Harris, Javonte Williams, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, James Robinson, Antonio Gibson. If I had to guess, there is a clear-cut number one out of those seven. Who would you take if you had the first of those seven to choose?
To me, it's either Harris or Taylor.
Yeah.
To me, I think
Jonathan Taylor.
I think the problem is just trying to figure out, like, I believe in Pitt. Here's what I think. I think Mike Tomlin will still be there in 2 years. I think they'll improve the offensive line. I think the philosophy will still be wanting to run the ball significantly.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of Indianapolis, I think that's a more fluid situation. I also think, by the way, Pittsburgh will get their quarterback situation figured out between now and 2 years from now.
Sure.
So to me, it's between Harris and Taylor. I might lean Harris just because he's 1 year younger, one less year of work.
He's actually
and
1 year older. Najee is.
Oh, really? Well, just 1 year, like, I guess, yeah. one year less of experience in the NFL, less of workload, if you will.
Gotcha.
But to me, it's a coin flip between those two guys.
All right, so you take Najee Harris. I'll take Jonathan Taylor, number two. I just think the guy's an absolute star.
Yeah.
He's second leading rusher in the NFL right now. You know, the offensive line's dealt with plenty of injuries this season. Good pass catcher as well. We saw in that absolute, just ridiculous play against the Ravens 3 weeks back. Love Jonathan Taylor. He'd be number two for me. Just 22 years old right now as well. So that leaves Javonte.
And by the way, if you had the number one pick and you picked Taylor over Harris, I'm not looking at you weird. Like I said, yeah, I think they're totally. I think the razor thin between the two of them. For me, number three, DeAndre Swift. I'm glad Daniel isn't here to hear this.
Sure.
I think DeAndre Swift is just a phenomenal football player.
Sure. Yeah,
just really a really, really talented player. I think. Look, we have a lot of fun about the Lions just to sort of torture Daniel, but since he's not here, I can be honest with you. I'm impressed with what they're doing.
Sure.
I get it. Like, they haven't won a game so far this year. It is a roster devoid of talent in a lot of places, but I think they're building something in the right way. I'm a believer in Dan Campbell. I'm impressed with how the Lions. I understand there's no such thing as a moral victory in the NFL, but if there were, I think the Lions would have a bunch of them. And so I believe in 2 years, they'll turn that around. I think they're headed in the right direction as a franchise, and I really like DeAndre Swift just as a player from a pure talent standpoint.
This one might surprise you, but number four for me, over James Robinson and Antonio Gibson and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is Javonte Williams. He's 21 years old, Matthew. He has so much room to grow over the next couple of years, and the path becomes very clear starting next season. Melvin Gordon's a free agent this upcoming offseason. They did sign Mike Boone away from the Vikings, but that wasn't like a major investment, and I think you and I have talked about this enough. Like, he makes at least one wow run per week. I think he's built for it. I think he's going to be an absolute rock star.
By the way, not a surprise. Had you given me the fourth pick, that's where I was going. I was going with Javonte Williams.
It was close between he and James Robinson for me.
Which is fair. But I had Williams at four. I was going to go with Robinson at five. Sorry, Antonio Gibson. You know I love you. But yeah, I mean, James Robinson's impressive.
He's been doing it. Yeah, he's
impressive. The only the anti-James Robinson argument.
Travis Etienne?
Two things. Travis Etienne and Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced on Urban Meyer as a professional football coach. I'm just not. His record is unmatched. He's a great college coach. We can argue about what kind of person he is and what kind of programs he runs, but in terms of wins and losses, Urban Meyer is a good college football coach. I am unconvinced so far on him as an NFL coach, and I just don't know. And by the way, an NFL coach and an NFL general manager, because it feels like he has a significant say over sort of player personnel in that franchise. I mean, I thought Etienne was a weird pick, to be candid, you know, and given the needs of that offense and what they had in Robinson. And I thought Robinson's usage was early in the year was weird as well. Like, you've got this guy that was awesome last year and you're rolling out Carlos Hyde. But from a pure talent standpoint, James Robinson can play.
He can really play. I'll go with Antonio Gibson, number six, by the way. And I know I've been frustrated this year with Antonio Gibson. And I know I mentioned that, like, I haven't seen special this year from Antonio Gibson. Hopefully there's much more room for growing here, and hopefully the passing game usage eventually picks up. J.D. McKissic will be a free agent this offseason. Maybe this is just a reminder that this guy is still in his second full year as a running back. To me, he is number six in this group, which leaves you with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, I'm not convinced Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the better running back for the Chiefs offense than Darrell Williams.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced he's the starter in 2 years.
Right.
Like the rest of these guys, barring an injury or some off-field incident that changes their perception in the league or their status in the league, all those guys, like, they're going to be the guys.
Yeah.
They're going to be the guys for their teams. Like Taylor, Harris, Swift, like Javonte Williams, they're going to be the guys for the team. I'm not convinced at this moment that CEH is the starting running back of the Chiefs in 2 years.
Fair enough.
Darrell Williams has been I'm not saying on a pure talent standpoint. I'm sure there's some talent evaluators out there that would be like, you got to be kidding me. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is this and this and this and this. And don't you know what his spark score is? And I get it. I'm just telling you, for what the Chiefs do on offense, it feels like Darrell Williams is a better fit at the moment than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And the fact that that's even a conversation gives me pause about CEH's dynasty value.
Let's get to the wide receivers. We have 5 minutes left on the show. I've got 8 names here, Matthew, and good Lord, sifting through these. Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, and Hollywood Brown. I'll go first. You got the first running back pick. There were 4 names that I was considering.
Yes, sir.
In some order, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, and also DK Metcalf. This may be surprising, Matthew, not picking Jamar Chase.
Okay.
But I'll take Justin Jefferson.
And interesting.
Here's the only reason why. Slightly larger sample size than his former teammate Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is incredible. I could make 1,000 different arguments in his favor right now. He's only 21. I could make a case for probably 6 players on this list, but I'll go with Justin Jefferson. The dude's ridiculous. He's a touchdown making machine. He had one of the greatest rookie seasons we have literally ever seen in NFL history for a wide receiver. Just 22 years old. Give me Justin Jefferson number 1. Who do you got number 2?
I don't know how you go against Jamar Chase
at this point.
I get it, small sample size, but I mean, like, he had as tough a matchup on Sunday against the Ravens as, you know, any wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he dusted him.
Sure.
He's dusted them.
Ridiculous.
Like, they know he's coming.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's a surprise anymore. Like, Baltimore knew he was coming.
He's
200 yards. If you told me CeeDee Lamb, you wanted to argue for, honestly, any of these guys, I'm like, I get it. Give me Jamar Chase.
Number 3 for me will be DK Metcalf. Still, just, he's a cyborg, right? He's Derrick Henry as a wide receiver. He is ridiculous. Still only 23 years old. Russell Wilson's future makes me a little bit nervous.
I was just about to say, that's the only knock on DK Metcalf is we just saw what happens when Russell Wilson isn't under center.
Sure.
And there are certainly rumors. There were rumors swirling last offseason, and there are rumors swirling this offseason that Russell Wilson may not be a Seahawk after this year.
Many of them. So I think I probably am leaving you.
CeeDee Lamb. Okay, got to be CeeDee Lamb. I would have gone, had I had that pick, I would have gone CeeDee Lamb.
Sure.
I would have gone Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson for me, and then Metcalf for. But again, all these guys are rock stars, and I think it just goes to show in Dynasty, you prefer wide receivers over running backs, just a longer shelf life, and especially with whether it's PPR scoring or half point PPR, whatever it is, your format, just you prefer those. So honestly, I would go, my next pick would be CeeDee Lamb.
And I'll take AJ Brown from there. AJ Brown, 24 years old. Probably the biggest question marks with AJ Brown have simply been health, right? I mean, been in and out of the lineup a little bit so far this year, but nothing major up to this point. He just managed a knee injury all throughout last year and kept on trucking. I'll take A.J. Brown there. So much upside, a big play. I mean, even on games in which he has not been 100% this year, Matthew, he's still been a difference maker. I thought about really all 4 of the guys left on the board right there, but I'll lean towards A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I think that's fair. My next pick, in theory, would be Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
Here's my only concern on McLaurin.
26?
He's 26.
Yeah. Which he could still be in his prime years at 28 for sure. I get it. We're nitpicking. All these guys
are
amazing.
We're nitpicking. They're all awesome. So I'm probably going with Jalen Waddle next.
Okay.
You know, who's they'll figure out. Listen, there's a chance a week from now he's catching passes from Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Right? That's within the realm of possibility. Either way, whether it's Tua, whether it's Watson, whether it's another quarterback in 2 years, I don't think anyone questions the fact that Jalen Waddle crazy talented.
I'll go with Terry McLaurin next, even though he is going to be 26 in or turn 26 in September. He's yet to play with a really good quarterback.
Oh.
I know, and again, you have expressed your frustration in many ways surrounding the Washington football team, but it feels like this offseason, more than recent offseason, they have to find a quarterback. If they do, Terry McLaurin's stock could be all the way up, which leaves you with Hollywood Brown. I feel terrible. Like, he's an amazing player. He is one of the eight best young wide receivers in football. Don't look at it as he is the eighth best out of eight great young wide receivers. He's amazing. He's an amazing talent.
There's no question.
He's great.
He's great. The only concern, to the extent there is one, is that as long as Lamar Jackson is there, it's still going to be a run-heavy offense. Mm. And he's not built like a prototypical, you know, franchise wide receiver. Right, he doesn't profile that way. He's been great, but it's been very touchdown dependent.
Also, the difference between him and some of these guys too is that these guys have done it from jump. Right, it's taken him. This is what, his third season. He's really maturing.
Yep.
But it took him a full year and 2/3 to get there.
And there's an argument there's an argument to be made that you and I, 2 years from now, if we're doing this podcast and we're talking,
Bateman.
Yeah. Like that. Maybe Marquise Brown isn't even the best dynasty wide receiver on his own team.
Totally fair. Yeah.
I mean, Bateman's really good.
He's going to be very good.
He's going to be really good. You and I both really like Rashad Bateman.
So that was fun. I actually enjoyed that. We'll try to get into some dynasty talk as it fits throughout the rest of the football season here. We are back, though, tomorrow, Thursday, to preview.
You know, it'll be an interesting conversation, which I'm dealing with right now. No, I was going to say, what's the dynasty value of somebody like Cooper Kupp, who's a little bit older, but now with Matthew Stafford having a monster, on pace to be better than Randy Moss this year. Better than Randy Moss 2007. What Cooper Kupp is doing, my little Cooper Kupp, is I have him in two dynasty leagues, and I am trying to figure out, in one league, I'm literally undefeated in that league. The Cooper Kupp league, that leads the loaded league there. I won the title last year and I'm undefeated so far this year. But in our league, our dynasty league, I have Cooper Kupp, but I also have Logan Thomas, J.K. Dobbins. Christian McCaffrey. I've been decimated by injuries at every place but Cooper Kupp.
Right.
And so, Rashad Bateman. I didn't have Rashad Bateman until last week. I'm trying to figure out what to do with Cooper Kupp in that dynasty league. Because his awesome season is being wasted for my team this year. My team is playing, we're not gonna compete for the title this year. I have too many injuries up and down the board.
Yeah, these things make life very, very difficult to figure out in Dynasty. That much is for sure. All right, that was fun, though. Let's do it again sometime soon. We're back on Thursday to preview Arizona and Green Bay. Hopefully, no more players enter into COVID-19 protocols. For Matthew and Kyle, I am Field. Mike Clay is here tomorrow. I think he's wearing his Halloween costume, so perhaps Mike, Matthew, and I will all have the exact same costume for Halloween. Until then, we'll talk to you Thursday.
Peace out!
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guide. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact, every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day, a spicy tomato who's got the stats, and tweets that'll make you laugh, he's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name, he's Field Yates.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.